Well, good morning, each one. It's a blessing to be here in the house of God, see all the faces, see everybody here. This morning, Brother Paul touched on a situation that I'd like to talk about a little bit. And there's a few brothers here that have heard a little bit about it. It's a time in light of eternity. It's going to cover a few points. This morning, seems like in the past few weeks in my life, the Lord's been doing some work in my life in the area of time. What am I doing with my time? Investing in the work of the Lord or just being selfish, being about my own thing? My mind went to a scripture in Psalms 127. It says in verse 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchmen watch, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." Before I go any further, I desire to have a word of prayer. I'll maybe rise and have a word of prayer. Yes, Eternal Father in heaven, we come to you this hour, this day, this full noon hour. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us together in this way. Thank you for all our health, Lord, for our strength. Thank you for our families, Lord. Thank you most of all for the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary, that we could come to you as we sang in that song this morning of a pure in heart, Lord. Lord, help us to stay pure in heart, to walk with you. Lord, another song that we sang this morning, to take away the love of sinning, Lord. Thank you for that, that pure, unspotted deliverance in Jesus Christ this morning, that we could be free, Lord, and have no hidden agenda, no pride, Lord. Take it away from my own life, Lord, and all of our lives together. Lord, that we could just read your word, we could glean truth, and be encouraged and be stirred to serve you in the time frame that we live, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, turn your Bibles to Psalms 90. This is where I want to start. Psalms 90. And the subject I'd like to talk about today is time in light of eternity. And I got this from Brother Steve Miller. This is a half hour glass, if I remember right. I kind of wanted an hour, but this will work too. A half hour glass. Seems that this half hour, in a half hour, this sand will drip through. And I would desire today, by God's grace and my weakness, to explain to us and try to help us to see that in our time that we live in is but a short time. So we'll read Psalms 90 in its entirety, and then we'll go from there. This is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as the tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and the glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. First, I'd like to share on time and how it works in contrast to eternity. It's a big difference between time and eternity. I will share some practical points of time. Like I said earlier, I shared some of these up at the prison the other night, and we're probably going to go a little past on that because that was like 15 minutes. But some practical points is that obviously all of us know that 1 minute has 60 seconds. Every 24-hour day has 1,440 minutes. That's 86,400 seconds. Every year has approximately 525,600 minutes. So if you're 30 years old, I use my own life because I'm 30, just a little over 30. You lived approximately 15,768,000 minutes. That's how long I live. And if you're double that, you're double that. So there's big numbers. They climb up quick and they're big. But as we look at the time, as we look at that and we consider that time and we see it dripping through, it just seems like it goes slow, but for some reason or another, we don't ever have enough of it. We're always running short. We're beating the time. But it all goes so fast. Most of us go to bed at 10 p.m., wake up at 5 a.m. That's 7 hours of sleep. And then we work 8 to 10 hours. That's 15 to 17 hours used up in a 24-hour day. 7 to 9 hours left for meals, meetings, prayer meetings, Bible reading. You see, that's just in general. These things change a little bit from different situations. But that's what we live in. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. That's what we're here. We live in this time frame of this space of time. Life is in a bracket of time. Now we'll look a little bit what the Bible says about time. We see in verse 4, it says, "For 1,000 years in thy sight are but yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night." And we see in 2 Peter 3, in verse 8, it tells us not to be ignorant of this one thing. One day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Time is a measurable period during which an action or condition exists or continues. I'd like to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. It's a proof of time. A time for everything. From verse 1 to 11, we'll read that from verse 1 to 11. "To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones, together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and time to cast away. A time to rent and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace." I don't believe that we're allowed to go to war, but simply we realize through the history of all generations, there are times of peace and there are times of war. I don't know where the peace always is, but there's times when things are kind of low. They don't seem to be very low today. Verse 9, it says, "What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the word in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Says that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. That's verse 11, and we're gonna stop there. We see that the Bible bears a testimony that God is working out His purpose in people's time. May the Lord help us in our time to use our time for His purpose and for His glory. As we see there in verse 2, it says it is a time to be born and a time to die. It makes me think of when I was born. We all would think about this because we were all born sometime. When I was born, a little over 30 years ago, I weighed less than a bag of sugar. I weighed like 4 pounds and 12 ounces. And I'm not sure how, that's pretty lit. I looked at a bag of sugar the other day when I was thinking about these things. And many of my aunts, they thought, well, he's going to make it. You know, I had pneumonia when I was 2 weeks old. But, you know, God said that wasn't my time to go. He said that He was going to let me live. It was His time. We don't understand. So I want to say that if we have breath today, if we're alive, God still has a purpose for us. Verse 10, it says, in that same chapter, I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. We can exercise what God wants us to do in the short time that we have. So if we're alive, we have a purpose. And we can ask the Lord for what that purpose is. Sometimes we don't know. We fail. We falter. We say, what's our purpose on earth? But we all have a purpose because God created us individually. He made us. So with that time, as I wrote here, as I look over everyone, my heart breaks within to think of the years I've wasted until I was 20. And I thank God for His mercy and protecting hand. And I'm sure you could all say the same. You know, there are years in your life you've wasted. This morning, my biggest passion would be that I would convince you not to waste them. That would convince us to not to waste them. By later on, we'll be looking at eternity, that we would not waste our time. I'd like to draw a little bit of a scale. And like again, you guys saw some of this up there, but I hope you can bear with me and see it again. So I'll draw a little bit of a scale and then we'll go from there. As I shared earlier, I told my wife I might ask for a raise of hands, whoever's 20 and under. But I don't think I'm going to because I couldn't count them. But I think I could start at about 40 and start counting them and writing it down. But you know that there are people, you imagine the percentage of young people in here, from babies up into 20, they outnumber us after that. We're 30 and 40 and on up. They outnumber us. So they have a tremendous opportunity unless God calls them home. And some of us are in the center of life. Some of us are toward the end of life. But we all have tremendous opportunity if we're alive. I'll draw this and try to make some sense out of it as I go. Can you guys see that from there? Here, some time ago, I listened to a message on time and eternity from, I think it's Mickey was his name. Brother Mickey was preaching on that. And we read in Psalms 90, we'll turn back to there. For the days of our years are but 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So we see that a normal life, according to what we just read, was 70. And if you got a little extra strength, you'll make it till you're 80. So I'm going to use 80 to give us a little further. But see, we have death. And here we have when we're born. And I'm sure you all think about this. I'm not sure if I think about it like I should. As I shared at the prison the other night, I believe as I go on in life, I realize that someday I'm going to die. But here we are born, and this is at 20. This is 40. And this is 60. This is just something. This is the way my mind works. And other people's different ways our minds work. And I let my mind wander sometimes. But as I was meditating on being here this morning and sharing this, my heart was aching with the born to 20. Because there's a lot of you in here that are from born to you're 20. And you know, when you're here in practical life, you know, there's just no way you can die. You just can't. You're going to live till you're 80. There's no doubt. I mean, that's how I thought. That's how most of us think, especially if we're not right with God. But if you're right with God, you have some concept. But even in the practical, you're healthy, you're not going to die. But it's not true. You could die here. I'm somewhere in between here, and there's others that are over in this bracket. And there's a few that are over here. And you're blessed over here. You got a lot of things that you went on in your life, maybe that weren't so good. But if you're over here, the Bible is true. One day, you will die. One day, you will die. It's true. The Bible is true. One day, we will all die, whether we're here or here. But we see it's big. It seems, to my mind, it seemed like it was big. The time that we live in is so big. It's huge, but it's so small. It just fleets away. When I think over my life, I think of being 30. I don't know where the time went. I thank God for the time that He's given me in finding my Jesus, finding my Savior, repenting from my sins. But I don't know where it went, and I desire, when I think about these things, to give the Lord more of my undivided attention and time. We see that in Ephesians 5. We'll turn to that. I have quite a few scriptures tagged. Ephesians 5, verses 13 to 16. It says, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, and whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." And we see there in verse 16, it talks about redeeming the time, for the days are evil. And as we're sitting here, you see there's sand going through, and there's sand going down in all of our lives. I believe that. I'm convinced of it. And I know you guys are too. But it's good to be stirred in them ways. It is in my life. The sand is dripping in our lives. It says, redeem the time. It's to use more diligence in the improvement of it. To be diligent and active in duty and preparation. And another meaning was to rescue, to recover, to deliver from. You know, we think about that. We think of time. We think of the times in life where I think of the times in my own life where I didn't redeem time. I went out and worked hard to do things that were unnecessarily were wrong. But as we find the Lord and we see what God wants from our lives, peace and holiness, we can work just as hard on that side of it. We want to serve the Lord with all of our strength and all of our soul, mind. I was thinking about that. It sobered me this week as I meditated on it, because I've wasted some time in some vanity in my life, and I would like to just lift up the standard of just owing God, bringing God the right that He needs, enough. Corinthians 4. I'm not going to read that. I'm just going to. It tells us to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time, to make most of every opportunity. In James 4, it says, when I read the verses in James 4, it makes me think of the rich fool. You know, he said in his soul that he has much goods laid up. Eat, drink, and be merry. And it wasn't that way. As we read the story of that, I won't do that for the sake of time, but as we read the story of that rich fool, that night his soul was required of him. And we realize that, that this day one of our souls may be required of us. And we can't deny it, because it has happened. It has happened in our communities. It has happened in our midst. That, like that, there was a soul. He was required away from us. And so, it is important to realize that and to have that on our minds, that we only have a short time on earth. The dictionary, here's a quote from a Bible dictionary about time. Although people live within a time space, a framework, they will live eternally. God, who exists eternally, will remove time and space, and people will relate to God in an eternal relationship. And if we think about that, it's good that we are suppressed in an area of time. Otherwise, it wouldn't be safe. We live in a time period. We wake up and we do things and we go to bed. If there wouldn't be no time, we would destroy ourselves. It'd be unsafe for us. So that's some of the points I had on time. Thinking a lot on eternity too. And this eternity is a big thing to think about. If you can think about eternity, through the days as I live, I think about eternity. I think about this life, and it becomes shorter as I meditate and as I think, because in eternity, it's forever. It doesn't stop. This will end right here. This in a half hour, probably about 15 minutes now, it'll be through, and we'll have to start it back over. But in eternity, it will never do that. It'll keep going. In John 1, from 1 to 3. From 1 to 3, in John 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that we made." And I would like to start there just a little bit on contrasting time with eternity. It says in verse 1 again, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Very convincing verses of eternity, of an eternal God, of a Word that reigned way before us and will reign way after us. In 1 John 1, there's another some more scriptures that clarify that. 1 John 1, verse 1 and 2. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us." So, it's a profound mystery that is just a little bit difficult for our minds to be wrapped around. That in this small span of time, if we make it all the way till the end, if the Lord don't call us home, we have this small span of time to get eternal life. That's all we have. We don't have long to grab a hold of eternal life by faith in Christ. And what hurts us and pulls at our hearts, many people believe when they're 20 they don't die, and 40 and 60, they're just never going to die. And if they die without eternal life, as I shared earlier, every man, every woman, child that ever was born will live eternally because they're a creation of God. You will live eternally no matter what, in one place or another. You're living God made you a living being. He formed you in your mother. And we will just live eternally in heaven or in hell. Hebrews 13, verse 8, says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. In Isaiah 9, it talks about the child that is born. And what are his names? They're Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hebrews 5, verse 9. We'll turn to that. In Hebrews 5, verse 9, it talks about the suffering of a son. And then in 9, it talks about, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He became the author of eternal salvation. That's Jesus Christ. He suffered. In verse 8, it says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. And I don't believe that most people that live would say that they'll reject eternal salvation. We want eternal salvation. It says that, as I think of that, I found this, some quotes in some different books I read. Some men doubt the eternity of future punishment. Some men doubt that eternity of future punishment, though they have less difficulty in admitting the eternal of future rewards. And I thought maybe I had some time to understand that. I was trying to meditate on that. Some men doubt the eternity of future punishment. Sometimes if we tell a man that if you're not right with Jesus Christ, you're going to die and you're going to spend eternity in hell forever. They don't believe that. They have a hard time believing that that will happen. But yet most men will say that, yep, there's a good things ahead. There's good rewards ahead. And there is. We believe both this morning if we're true Christians, if we're born again by the Spirit of God. But we believe this morning also that there is an eternity. There is a future punishment that reigns throughout all eternity. It doesn't scare us. But as Paul would say, that we persuade men by the terrors of hell. And we don't scare men, and I don't want to scare no one in here to believe this day. And many of you believe, but we persuade men by the terrors of hell, because there is a day coming that, and it doesn't matter if it's not in our generation. It doesn't matter if all of us will pass off the scene. It doesn't matter. There's still a day coming where there'll be an eternal life in hell or in heaven, and that seems to grip me in my heart as it would stir us, that there is an eternal life after this, with the devil and his angels, or with the Lord Jesus Christ in eternal bliss. And so, as I think about that, let's believe both of them. Let's believe also that there are good rewards, but there are also bad rewards for those that do not believe. In 1828 dictionary, it says, it says these words, and I really appreciate a dictionary, them old dictionaries. They give us biblical truth. Some of the new ones kind of pump it up. But anyway, we speak of endless or everlasting duration in future and dating from present time on the present state of things. An endless or everlasting duration in future. Endless. I don't know if we can completely grasp that, but endless. New bodies. Bodies of immortality. New. As I meditated on eternity, my mind went to Isaiah 57. I think we'll turn to that. Eternity. And I had to think of what the Lord was talking to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 13 to 15. This is the Lord. This is the Lord speaking. It says in verse 13, when thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee. But the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And we see that the Lord said here in verse 14, it says, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert place a highway for our God. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. What the Lord said to Isaiah, he says to the people of God today. He still says it to the people of God today. You know, as I meditate on that and thinking of time, it's not because we want to take these stumbling blocks out of the way. When we see, and I want to make a quick balance on that. If you got something in your life that's maybe a challenge, as Brother Mervin talked about this morning, and it's there for a reason, don't put it away. You know, don't put something away that God doesn't permit you to put away. But things that draw you away from God, things that pull our hearts away from truth. The Lord told Isaiah to tell the people to put it away. Just put it off. And because, in verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. For thus saith the high and lofty one. We don't say it this morning, but the Lord said that it's not worth it to spend your time in vanity. It's not worth it to spend your time as the years, as a sigh that is told. As this, at the end of life, when men lay in their graves and die, they say, oh, if I would have just. See, the life is just vanity. And some men die millionaires and some don't. But it's all vanity, as Solomon would say. It says, may the Lord help us as his people, as we walk through this life in the framework of time, to remove the stumbling blocks out of the way in light of what I just read, whose name is Holy One that inhabiteth eternity. And my heart is this morning, this short time that I have, that we would make eternity famous. Eternity famous. You know, we would make eternity as famous as wicked men make time famous. You know, men rise up in generations of time and make big things happen. They do. And we can see it. We can see it in every area of life. But the men of God are looking for an eternal purpose. And that was earlier what I shared. It stirred us this morning that we will live eternally. From the smallest to the biggest, from the youngest to the oldest, we will simply live forever. And so when we look back, as we look back in time, as we see here, as we see, there, we may be in here, and I remember being in here, you know, and my mother and my father, they were ahead of me in time. And the Lord did mighty works in them years. But they were looking back and seeing us little boys walking in time. And they knew what was best for us. They did. We thought they surely they didn't. They knew that if we would do what they were telling us not to do, and which many of us did, and we paid an awful price for some of those things that we walked in from here to there. And it hurts us. I have scars on my arm today from some of those walkings in this area right here because I wouldn't listen to my mother. I wouldn't stay home from some places. But I do want to say, if we're here just trying to make merchants out of young people or old people, or where, if we're here just trying to make people be like we are, but if we have an eternal purpose that looks way past this death line even, if we're here, whether we're here and they're looking over here and telling us, as the scripture would teach us, older men would exhort younger men. And that's what I've been blessed in my life, just to be exhorted. Let someone tell me, this won't work, this will. But this only works good when we have an eternal purpose, when we have an eternal look. We're not looking to make somebody like me. But my heart burns for these years because they get wasted so many times. I've wasted them. I beg everyone, don't waste them. They're not worth it. They're precious. They're beautiful. And there's a lot of good things can happen. And there are good things happening. There's a lot of young people that love the Lord in here. And I feel like I'm young, you know. And I just know there's a half hour that was going. It helps me with my time. That's a blessing for me. We see in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. We'll turn to that and read it. Actually, I won't turn to that. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. There it is again. It's eternal life. That's what I was sharing earlier. When we look into eternity, we're not looking to make sure that when I'm 40 to 60, that everybody is right with me and I got everybody under my thumb. But we're looking for if we have an eternal view. And if I'm wrong, I like to be exhorted, like I shared earlier. But when we see into the future the way God wants us to see, we enjoy seeing people younger than us just fighting on, laying hold of that eternal life. We don't say, come on, you got a standard to meet. We say, fight on, because they're fighting on. So that's my heart this morning, that you don't see a standard that I'm putting here, but you also can, along with us all, get a glimpse of eternity. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou also hast called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We see in Titus, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. You know, God, and that was in Titus 1, verse 2, before the world began. And our world began when we were born, or our time. The world began way before we were ever here. We read through, as Brother Denny was sharing those stories this morning of Hudson Taylor and some of them guys that they're not here no more. They lived in their time, but some of those men loved God and they served Him, and their heart panted after what God wanted for them. And as I meditate on these things, my heart is panting within my breast to do what God wants me to do, to be where God wants me to be, and to love Him and serve Him with every ounce of time that I have. And I desire to put that very stirring in all of your hearts, that we don't have long. It doesn't matter if we have 80 years, we don't have long. I don't know. Maybe Grandpa could say how long 80 years is. I'm not sure if you're quite 80. But it's not long. I believe he would say it's not long. It's short in light of eternity. In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 to 21. As I think of that glimpse of eternal life that the Lord gives us when we become God conscious, when our hearts become soft, He gives us a glimpse in the future. When we think of heaven, when we think of dying, we think of laying on a deathbed, it should cause us to become burdened to be the minister of reconciliation. As I was meditating on that, to be a minister of reconciliation, you know, where there's strife, where there's hatred, where there's family feuds, wherever it be, our whole being should pant, should burst forth with ministry of reconciliation, that men could be reconciled unto Jesus Christ, first of all, and then unto one another, because it's the only way that it'll work. It's the only way that we'll inhabit eternity, as the Lord shared. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 into 21. And that's the entire chapter. We'll read some of that and pull some truths from there. For we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon with mortality, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory in our behalf, that we may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of God, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth now, we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, but having committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In verse 2, says that we groan. Do you ever groan to be home with the Lord? You know, if we're right with God, sometimes we. I was reading in Luke this morning. The end times, the signs of the end times. Just reading in Luke, and it said in there that men's hearts fail them because of fear, because they look out and they see things that are going on. And sometimes my heart, you know, our hearts fail. We falter under fear, unless I'm different than any of you. But we falter. We fail. We got fear that creeps in. But the Bible then tells us that perfect love casts away fear. And if we love the Lord with a perfect heart, the fear goes away, and we can walk forward. We groan in verse 2, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. That eternal garment, that eternal clothes that is from heaven. We desire that clothes. We desire to have that one day, because we're going to put this off. This is a corruptible. We have all our earthly clothes is just nothing. It clothes us. But as it wears and as it gets old, it gets holes in it. You know, we all have testimonies of that. And it gets old. But our earthly clothes will be from heaven. That garment will be from heaven. And we desire to be clothed upon with that. When we are right with Jesus Christ. In verse 15, it says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We see that we should not live henceforth for ourselves, but unto him who died for us and rose again. Jesus died and rose again. And we see in verse 20 and 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And as I look at verse 21, as I was meditating on that yesterday afternoon a little bit, it says in verse 21, I'll read that again, it was precious to me. It says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I remember reading that when I was about 20 years old, right after I got my heart was given, I gave my heart to the Lord. And I read that and I remembered my sins. And he was made sin for us. He didn't know no sin. He is the perfect Lamb of God. And he inhabiteth eternity. And he's reaching down through the years of time, as we spoke of earlier. And he's calling on men to turn unto him. Because he did that for us. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Not going about establishing our own righteousness, but our righteousness is in Christ. And we follow after him. And then our righteousness will also exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, because they say to do, and they don't ever do. Or they do it maybe in the spirit of the law, or whatever it may be. And I'm open for that. But our righteousness, we do not retaliate when someone backs us in a corner. We show forth the righteousness of Christ. And it makes me think of the law and the spirit. A while back I talked about that a little bit. The law and the spirit. The spirit of God is able to give us victory and give us that life of Christ, that righteousness of Christ, because he was made sin for us. And that melts my heart this morning. And I pray that with yours and all of us together, that he was made sin for us. He told the Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? But the Lord knew what he had to do, because he saw men. He saw men today sitting here in this room, all of us, walking through time in our span of time that we have. And he wanted them. In the Psalm it talks about, or in Proverbs, we're going through some of our Bible study, he delights in the souls of men. He created the heavens, the mountains, the seas. But yet he delights in the souls of men. When he sees a wicked man, a hard-hearted man, turn from his evil and turn unto him, it delights our Lord. That's encouraging that our Lord delights in us when we turn to him. Between man and him, though the person of Christ Jesus will compel us to make him Lord of our life. You often hear that Jesus Christ saved me. And I was meditating on that. And just want to do that review here in closing. I have some different scriptures that I read. Another scripture I want to read here before I do this is Romans 13, verses 11 to 14. It says, And knowing the time that now is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the whole armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. I was encouraged by those verses. The night is far spent. Today, we are closer to our eternal salvation than we ever was. We're closer. That excites us. It excites me. We're closer. You know, it's a blessing when we start and we come up off of our knees and the tears are rolling and we feel peace in our inner being. But today we're closer. I'm 10 years closer than I was when I found Jesus. And I see that I have not always spent my time in the center of where God wants me to be. And that was my heart today, that these things the Lord is doing a work in my own heart. So again, the mass majority of us are right here, younger people and children, and then the lesser and the lesser and the lesser But you know, there's a generation that's going to filter from this place. They're going to filter because it can't stop. We can't hold all these children and young men in here when they get married and they have children. It's going to filter out through time. And it's going to be a difference. You're going to make a difference someday. So my heart is that you would be stirred today to make a difference in the Lord. And to be totally committed to Him and make Him Lord of your life. There's a song that we enjoy as a family a lot. And I asked Brother Dan to play it. It's a song about Come, Dear Lord Jesus. So I think that's all I have. My heart was, again, to stir us to redeem the time because the days are evil. And to look unto Jesus Christ because He is coming again. And we don't know when. So may the Lord be with you all. And God bless you. And pray for us. And we'll pray for you in our weakness as a family. And may the Lord be with you all.
Is coming, is coming, is coming.